Do you want to align with God's vibes, adapt to a spirit-led lifestyle, and live out of the fullness of God's plans and purposes for your life? This podcast is for you. The good news I have for you is that your time is now. It's time to transform self-sabotage into self-mastery and revolutionize your world. If you're ready to go beyond the ordinary and break out into the extraordinary life God designed for you, you're in the right place. In the God's Vibes podcast, you will find the freedom and permission to stop chasing success the world's way and simply be who God formed, shaped, and anointed you to be. My name is Juliana Page, and my mission is to lead you on the ultimate adventure, aligning and tracking with God so you can radically transform your life from the inside out and build spirit-driven success. Using life coaching and biblical and prophetic teaching, I'll show you what it means to dwell in the good land God ordained for your life and train you to be a powerful person who is a walking testimony of what's possible with God. Subscribe to God's Vibes for spirit-filled real talk, hard-hitting truth with a humorous touch that will help you discover who you are in God, dare to press through your seeming limitations, and chart a divine path that will renew your dreams and transform your future. It's time to experience true freedom through courage, faith, and self-mastery. I dare you to step out in faith and courageously dive into the purposeful life of trusting God for the impossible. Let's go. Welcome back to the God's Vibes podcast. Hello, Faith Walkers. What's good? What's good? We've got a guest interview today. This is actually a throwback episode. We recorded it several months ago. I believe it was November of last year. However, Stephanie Mae Wilson has a book coming out this week. You can actually pre-order it now. If you are an author, if you desire to write a book, one of the greatest blessings that you can give an author is pre-ordering their book or buying their book or buying a few of their books and giving them to friends. So this episode is in honor of her and the new book that she has written. I'll give you a little quote from the book. It is called Create a Life You Love. Here's the truth. Very few people accidentally stumble into a life they love. If you want to build a life you love, you need to do it on purpose. You need to figure out where you want to go and start taking steps in that direction. But where you go and how you go about getting there is up to you. There's a lot of room for creativity. So she is a beautiful, beautiful woman of God. She also hosts a podcast called Girls Night, which is a time. And this is in honor of her, the beautiful work that she does, and the beautiful woman that she is. So enjoy this episode.
My name is Stephanie Mae Wilson, and I'm an author and a podcaster. And through, you know, my books and my courses and my podcast, I help women primarily in their 20s and 30s through some of the biggest decisions in life transitions that so many of us face in this season of our lives. And so that looks like trying to figure out, you know, who's my person? Do I want to share my life with someone in particular? And how do I find them? And what does that look like? Or, you know, what do I want to be doing for my career? Where do I want to live? Or who are my people? Or do I want to be a parent? And the whole journey to actually, you know, becoming one. And so that's just really become my thing over the years. I've been doing this work for about 11 years now, which is crazy. Okay. But it's been such a gift to get to come alongside women as sort of a resource, a big sister, a friend, to help them figure out what it is they want out of their lives and, take steps towards getting it.
Amazing. I feel like in the world that we live in now, it's so necessary, right? I think people are starting to understand coaching and mental health, and they're starting to really recognize that that's not just a luxury, it's a necessity. But now we're in a world where we're processing so much more and we're having to deal with so many more things because we're just exposed to so much more. Yeah. Back in the day, this was called a quarter life crisis. I think it was Christine Hassler that actually termed that phrase. But like in your 20s,
just like you would go through this maybe in your 40s somewhere, like you're trying to figure out all those big questions, like, who am I? Why am I here? How do I human? Do I like other humans? What is that? Right? Like,
yes.
And how do you have those answers? It's like, you're just supposed to know, quote unquote, but how do you have that? It's
no,
wild.
Totally. And you know, something that I've discovered is I heard a stat that 80% of our life's most defining moments happen before age 35. And I think it's, I would say that more, you know, that study came out a while ago. I would say it's more like 40, but in these years, kind of, there's kind of a decade-ish where we're trying to figure out all these things. And it's really so many of our, like biographically significant decisions that are like, you know, she was this, she did this, she lived here, she was, you know, wife to so-and-so, mother to so-and-so, friend of so-and-so. It's like, these are the years when so much that is figured out. And something that I've really been studying in the last year or so is how many voices, different voices we have telling us what that should look like.
Totally.
And there are so many shoulds, and the shoulds vary depending on what street you grew up on or what church you went to, or, you know, who your mom is. And they can be deafening. There's so many voices telling us what our lives should look like. And so it really has become my mission in the last, you know, several years to walk with women as they're trying to figure out what that looks like for themselves, because ultimately you are the person who has to live your life.
Yeah.
And I believe that there really is not one right way to do this. There are so many variations and gradients of what a beautiful, well-lived life can look like. And so in the face of all those decisions and in the face of all of those options and all that pressure, like, we really could use some help sorting through it and figuring out like what is actually right for us. And so that's where I come in.
100%. I love this. Such a necessary mission. Thank you for the work that you do.
Well, I love it. I love it. So that helps a lot.
Yes, that helps immensely. I'm curious too, because now I have found that it's very helpful when you have all those voices to hear the voice and allow God's voice to like sift through everything. So I'm curious what your God journey has been, and has that helped to lead you into what you do today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in a like, we were more, you know, Christian than anything else family. We went to church on Christmas and Easter, and that was about it, but it wasn't a super like focus of my upbringing. I have really great parents. I had a great childhood, but it just wasn't a large part of the way that I grew up. And you know, I think, to be honest, I had a lot of hesitations about the church and about faith because of, I think, a lot of the shoulds that I saw. Maybe just from the outside looking in, it felt like there was only really one way to do this life of faith. And it didn't really look like that way fit me or I fit in that way. And so for a long time, it was like, I just sort of was sitting on the outside, like, that's good for you, but not for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I went through just a really devastating season of loss most of the way through college, where I just felt like I lost, you know, the things that I was holding on to that were kind of like holding me together were, you know, a relationship. And I mean, really, that was it. I didn't really have a great community at the time where I really felt like I could be myself or really had been myself with them. I didn't really have people who I felt like were really my people or really knew me. I didn't feel like I really knew me. I, you know, wasn't making great decisions at the time, just in terms of like taking care of myself or my health or my mental wellness. And so it was when that relationship fell apart that I really just came unglued and started looking in places for wholeness and healing and like an escape, I guess,
that I
hadn't considered before. And so one of the giant gifts of that season of life was that I kind of right after my heart was broken, I got to leave the country, which I highly recommend. That's just a remedy that I go back to time and time again. I'm like, if you're really hurting, hop on a plane. Cause it just helps.
Some people are like, cut your hair. You're like, get on a plane. Just get on a plane.
Yeah. I did cut my hair though. I did. Okay. Absolutely. I cut bangs. That's how you know it was bad.
It was real. Yeah. It was real.
It was a real bad heartbreak. I got bangs. I don't recommend that for me.
Get on the plane.
Get on the plane. So I got on the plane. And I got to study abroad for a semester in Spain, and I got to go with my longtime best friend and a new friend who became a lifelong best friend. And the three of us just got to, you know, noodle around Europe for a semester, which was just an enormous gift. And in that semester, I found a lot of things. You know, I had the chance to think. I had the chance to have some time by myself in a really beautiful place, which I feel like there are a few things more healing than that. Yeah. I had the chance to really spend some concentrated time with some really, really wonderful women who loved me a lot. Yeah. And who were like a really, really safe place to figure myself out. And,
yeah,
but who were also really fun. Like, we just really enjoyed each other's company. And I find that like being around really safe, kind, women, there's just like nothing like it. No. And so I had that experience for a semester as I was kind of putting the pieces of my life back together and trying to figure out like, where did we go wrong? How did I end up so broken? And it was towards the end of our trip that we went to Rome. Mm-hmm. And we ended up going to the Sistine Chapel. You know, we were dutiful tourists and made sure to hit all the sites. And I was getting ready to leave the Sistine Chapel. You know, I was looking around going, wow, you know, the ceiling is amazing. This is beautiful. And I was just about to leave when I caught sight of the fresco, The Last Judgment by Michelangelo on the back wall. And it's not my favorite painting by any means. I feel like Jesus is like kind of wearing a diaper in it, yeah, which is fine, you know, to each his own. But I just, it was not my favorite painting, but something about it just caught my eye and my heart in a way that I just totally couldn't explain at the time. And it felt like in looking at Jesus, I was seeing a friend that I like hadn't seen in forever. Like I just had this visceral desire to run and throw my arms around him. And the thought that was echoing through my head was just, I want him to know me and I want to know him. And I want to be like, I want to be friends with him.
Yeah.
And so it was that day in the Sistine Chapel that I decided to become a Christian, to give Christianity and Jesus a chance. And it really, like, my whole life changed from that moment on. It was really just a beautiful next really 10 years of getting to really know God, of, you know, lots more hopping on planes with him, yeah, lots more learning about myself and learning about him and healing and figuring out like who I was meant to be and who I was never supposed to be, and who I need and want in my life, and how to kind of discern that. A lot of the journey was figuring out like what I want to be doing with my life, because for a long time I was heading towards a career in broadcast journalism. That was my degree. That was my, you know, all my internships, all my experience, my whole resume is like really heavily weighted towards broadcast news. Yeah. But in becoming a Christian, I found that I wanted to like, be part of the story more than just standing on the outside and telling it. Like, I wanted to be part of change. I wanted to actually have an impact on people's lives. And I wanted to be able to include like my lens in the story of like what I was seeing and what I was experiencing. And so that led me to a year-long mission trip. And on that mission trip, I actually kept a blog. We were sort of asked to keep a blog, and that was how this whole thing started.
Wow.
It was starting to tell my story and, you know, the story that I was experiencing and through my lens. And it was really amazing. People started to read it and get, you know, find connections and find, encouragement and hope, or, you know, just something that they could try to make their journey a little bit easier, through hearing mine. And, I mean, that was 11 years ago, and it's been just really amazing to get to continue to do that work. And like, here we are today.
It's amazing. We have so many fun parallels, which would be fun to unpack another time. But I too had a very like similar start, right? But instead of going to out of the country, right, and getting on a plane, we had something where you could do experiential education programs. So that's what I did. And I did an experiential education program, but it was the same thing. It was in college, asking all those questions, deeply, deeply searching. My undergrad is in journalism as well.
Yes. Yes. I feel like it's like a club of like journalism, yeah. like dropouts. Like, I mean, yes. we made it, we graduated, but yeah, the journalism dropouts that are now podcasters. It's great.
Well,
the
heart of it is informing the public good and truth, right? We're the truth seekers and the truth tellers, right? So that kind of makes sense to me, but I love that. I just feel kindred here. But I'm curious, how do you feel in hindsight that it's different that you got to do that with God? So I didn't come from a legacy of faith and I did that whole thing without God. It was very, very different. So I'm curious for you, how do you think answering those deep questions with him and having this beautiful friendship allowed that to be perhaps a more joyful experience in some sort of way?
Like going through my career or going through...
Well, going through those questions, right? Like, so you were facing in the very beginning all these deep questions about how you're going to show up in the world, really, right? And then you meet your friends, right? And then how does that look when you actually are doing things with God and starting to answer those questions?
I think I feel like it was sort of a partnership.
Okay.
I think a lot of times, you know, we're trying to answer these giant questions about our lives. And I think for a lot of us who are in faith communities, we look at God like he is an insurance policy. And it feels like if I can just figure out exactly what he wants me to do, what he says is absolutely best, then I will not get my heart broken more than I won't get my heart broken. I won't get hurt. I won't get lost. I won't fail. I won't be rejected.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, God has never promised us an easy life. And if we look at any of the people that he used and has used throughout history in the most profound ways, they never had the easiest stories.
No.
And really, when we're honest, like we don't want an easy story. We want a story that means something.
Yeah.
So I do think that we can get really caught in indecision, and we can just get really paralyzed trying to make decisions, looking to God to make them for us.
Yes.
I think sometimes he does have really specific things for us. I think more often he gives us a choice, and he gives us wisdom, and he gives us like things that he's put in our hearts. You know, I'm always amazed when I hear someone talk about something they're passionate about that I just totally don't relate to, like people who love cooking, for example.
Yeah.
I'm like,
not my thing.
Like, I will eat with so much joy the thing that you make, but it is not my thing. Or like, I mean, anyone in the medical profession, like I just would be an awful doctor. Someone bleeds and I pass out. Like, it's just, it is not the thing that I want to dedicate my life to, but the thing that I want to dedicate my life to, like, is something that that they would have no interest in. And I think that, you know, it's so, I've had women reach out to me over the years who are trying to figure out what their path is, trying to figure out what, you know, God has for them. And they're like, you know, I have this really strong, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, I have this really strong desire to work with middle school girls in the United States. Like, talk about a tough population, you know, like, I have a real heart for middle schoolers. How do I know that this is what God wants for me? And it's like, I think the fact that you like middle schoolers means that this is for you, my friend. Like, this is, because that's not common. Like, middle schoolers are really hard and really mean sometimes. A lot of people don't want anything to do with a middle schooler. So the fact that you care about this means something.
Yes.
So I think that that's, you know, kind of the path that I've been walking, is trying to hear what God has to say, but also not give him authority that he's given to me, trying to like take the authority that he's given to me over
100%.
The life that he's given to me.
Yes.
And so it's been a lot of that. It's been a lot of, what do I want? Am I allowed to want that? Is that a good thing to want? Is that okay to want? Is that what God wants for me? And I feel like a lot of the time he's been like, buddy, I'm with you regardless. Like, let's go. We are picking between two great options here. Like, you can't go wrong. I'm with you either way. Let's do this.
I love that. Like, let's uncomplicate things. And it sounds like, too, you kind of hit on it earlier, right? Like, it's different when you're operating with discernment and when you have wisdom, right? Like you actually can trust then yourself in the sense of the authority that God has given you. You can really lean into that and be like, oh yeah, like this is the way I can walk in this way. I can choose this path, right? But even if it starts to evolve in a way that doesn't feel right, like God is with me in that and I can pivot, right? But the key is to be in movement. But I just think about, right, those questions can seem so daunting when you don't have the wisdom, when you don't have the understanding, when you don't have the context of a great God being with you through that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do find that we spend so much time talking about like wisdom as though it's like insight into a decision, into a particular decision. And I feel like it's so much less that. It's so much less like,
yeah,
you know, with God in your corner, you have the ability to decide which internet-based startup you're going to work for or something like that. It's like, no, it's not that. It's because that's not in the Bible. Like you can't magic eight ball this and like flip open a page and be like, ah, it's Google, you know, like, it's probably always Google. If you can get a job at Google, do it.
Yeah.
But like, that's not in there. What is in there is that you're loved and that you're seen and that, that you're equipped, that God is with you. Like, I mean, really, I think that it's more like, it's way more about who he is and about who you are. And it's loving and loved than it is about which decisions specifically to make. I think that what happens after that is really so much up to us. But the beauty is that we don't have to do it by ourselves.
So good. So good. So as you were writing this blog and it's starting to set everything off, what was the journey? What are some of the plot points that happened after that?
Oh my gosh. well, a lot of it involved doing things before I was ready.
Okay.
So I started this blog and I loved this blog and I was working on it as just sort of a side hustle kind of thing while I was working at a missions organization.
Okay.
And I loved the work I was doing there. I was doing really like marketing, you know, video work. It was cool. I was getting to use a lot of my degree. And then I was doing my own blog on the side. And it was actually there that I met my husband. We met for the first time. We were working together. And that was so awesome. Like, it was just such a great experience. But we were both laid off from our jobs 3 months before our wedding, which was very complicated and very stressful. And so we really were like kind of set off on our own way before we were ready. Like, I thought that I would, you know, I wanted to write a book someday. Podcasting wasn't even a thing at the time, so that wasn't on my radar. But
I was going to say, was blogging even really a thing then? Or were you still
blogging? Blogging was definitely a thing. It was
blogging. Groundbreaking.
If you had a thing, it was blogging. And really, social media was like, I mean, it existed, but it wasn't the same way. It wasn't like, if you were doing work online, sharing your story, it was through a blog. But I did want to write a book and I wanted to, you know, do speaking and things like that. But I mean, I wouldn't have said I would do that. Like, I would have given myself another 10 years or something before I would release my first book. But it was because we lost those jobs. And then we ended up trying to figure out kind of, as we're planning our wedding, we're trying to put these different pieces of our lives together and figure out like what we're going to do next. I took a part-time writing job. And Carl was like, I will do some freelance design work. Like, you know, thank goodness I have that in my back pocket. And so that's what we did for a while. So I was being someone's assistant part-time, and then I was doing my own work on my blog part-time. And so that was kind of like a step out. And then about 6 months later, that whole situation that we were in fell apart. And so again, Carl and I are both back at the starting block being like, what are we going to do? And it was at that point that I came across a couple women who were, who had built communities online, who had taken the things that they know and the things that they have to offer the world and like put them into a format that people could learn from.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
And so it started out with my first book, which is called The Lipstick Gospel. And that's the story of the Sistine Chapel and everything that led up to that and everything that happened since.
Yeah.
And then it led to, you know, several more books. It was just, it really was, I was trying to think of like, if I were sitting in a room with a group of women, like, I feel like my best thing in life is being a small group leader. Like, I'm like a small group leader at heart. And so if this was a small group and my small group was just a little bigger than your normal small group, how would I communicate about this? Like, what are they going through and what would I want to share? And so that's really been the whole thing, is like, it just in different forms, you know, sometimes it's a book, sometimes it's a workbook, sometimes it's a course. Yeah. And now it's a podcast. Like, it's just taken all these different forms, but the heart of it has always been, what are the women in my community needing? What's hard about this season of life, and what can I do to make it a little bit easier?
Yeah. I love that. That's so fun. Well, I love this context. So thank you for being so generous with your story and how you're sharing this. But I think when we think that we've like found the path, we're almost somewhere in us expecting that to be an easy ride, but it on the outside can look like, why is it not working? Did I miss something? But like, just the ability to be like, no, I'm on the path. I just got to actually be resourceful. So I love how both of you are like, okay, hunker down. What are we going to do? I'm going to do this. You go do that. Ready, break. And then you go, right? Just such a beautiful story.
It's pretty wild, but I think that there's something really beautiful to having nothing to lose.
Yes.
You know, which is where we were. Then we're like, we don't even have, like, we didn't have kids, we didn't have houseplants, we didn't have pets, we didn't have anything. And so like, while we didn't have anything, like, we had like $11 to our name at one point, we also didn't really have a whole lot to lose. And so it was a beautiful time to get to pursue something different. Yeah. And I find though that like, it's interesting that, I mean, I haven't really, talked about this much. I haven't gotten to really share this story in its entirety. It's still really unfolding, but we are in a kind of a season again, where we're like, we want to, lighten our load a little bit and like go on another adventure. Like, what would it look like to have less, to have to take care of less, to have to carry less, to have to worry about less? Like, what could we do if we did have less to lose and a little bit more flexibility to pivot and do things differently if we want to? And so I think that there's just something really beautiful to not necessarily doing things the way that you like that someone told you you have to, like getting a little creative with your life. And then also knowing that you can pivot, you can do something one way for a while, and then you can make a different decision and you can do it totally differently. And there's like, life does not have to be linear at all. But even so, even if you do walk down one path for a while and then like change lanes, you still have made that progress. You still like, with our journalism degrees, you know, it's like, we still learned all those skills. Those skills are transferable.
For sure.
So even if we're not reporting the news or whatever the goal was, like, we still are able to tell stories and communicate using the things we've learned along the way. And so, I feel like it's not always a left turn. It's like a lane change. You still get to keep the progress you made, but you don't have to stay in the same lane forever.
Yes. And you're never truly starting over. Like, that's what I'm hearing you saying too. That's the beautiful thing. It's like, okay, but I've got 11 plus years of experience now. So like, I've got proof that starting over is okay, or that this pivot's going to work, or I can actually put my faith out here for something far out. Cause I know that when I do that, when I jump, the most magical things happen. Yeah. Right. Somehow that happens. Like, I'm not stuck. I'm not stuck. Right. Yeah. I love that. So I was going to ask you too, like, what you sense is next. So is that kind of what you're sensing is next, or can you start picking up more?
I'm working on a book. And it's actually about all of this. It's called Create a Life You Love. It'll be coming out in late April.
Okay.
And then also my family and I are in the process of really doing that in a whole new way. We recently, like a couple months ago, rented out our house in Nashville and we moved into just a little house temporarily near family so that we could spend a lot of good family time, because in July 2024, we are going to be moving to Spain.
Come on. What?
That's fun.
So fun. I love them.
So we're really in a season of kind of like reimagining, you know, and going like, okay, you know, the decisions that we've made in the last several years have been really good and have had such a purpose and such so many good things attached to them. But like, now we get to do something different and we want to do something different. And so it's been really cool to, you know, we've gotten rid of some stuff and we're about to get rid of a lot more. And it's going to take a lot of flexibility on all of our parts. You know, we're going to, like, my kids are going to have to learn Spanish, and I love that. And, but it's just a really cool thing to get to reimagine our life again. And to remember that, like, it's never too late to do that. You know, heartbroken in college is not the only time you get to go on an adventure.
Yeah. So good. Just saying. I love this, like, character arc though, right? From how did I end up here to, like, oh, what's possible? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, how did you do that? Because I don't think, I mean, that is available for anyone who chooses it, but how did you make that shift? Because I feel like it's such a pivotal one that now you keep doing time and time and time again, right? Like, you've changed. It's like you lean into resistance. I don't quite know how I would describe it, but it's like, oh, this is an opportunity. What's going on here? Right? Like, versus most people be like, oh my God, my world is falling apart. Right?
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of freaking out that happens. I'm very like, it's there. I think there are two distinct parts of me. There's a part of me that's like excited about change and that pushes for the hard thing and makes the hard decision. And, I never take the easy path, but then there's the other half of me that always wishes that I had taken the easy path, you know, that's like, I hate change. This is scary. I'm homesick. All I want to do is just like stay in bed and, you know, watch Netflix and order takeout. And like, that's all I want out of my life. Yeah. But I think that something that I've learned is that, is like when to listen to these different parts of myself. The part of myself that is a risk taker and that is looking for opportunities and that is excited about something different. She makes the plans and she makes the plans ahead of time. Yeah. And then the other part of me can totally take over, but like, she can't change the plans. And so it really is like, you know, every time I've done something scary, every time I've ever gotten on a plane, there's like the comfort part of me has been like, I don't actually want to do this, but it's too late because like the other half already bought the ticket.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, learning things about yourself like that, learning how you operate, learning when you're brave, when you're making decisions that are actually in line with what you want for your life versus like what just feels comfortable. Yeah. Like making decisions accordingly. That's been really helpful. I feel like I totally didn't even answer your question.
No, you did. So, and I'm curious too, as you've been expanding on that a little bit, like what really helped you to start listening to yourself? Cause you started listening to yourself to the point where you found your voice, right? In order to share in a blog and all these different, you know, in books and all these different ways, the podcast. So how did you get to that, or what really served you in that journey? Cause I can really feel people desiring that maybe, or just feeling like they don't have a voice, or who would listen, or like, I would like to build a community too, but like, I don't know any humans, like, you know, like I could just feel the weight of this. So what really helped you to start coming out in that way?
So my answers are kind of all over the place a little bit, but you know, one of the things is journaling. I think that journaling helps me slow down enough to actually be present in my life.
Yeah.
And it also helps me remember my life. And it also helps me look back on my life. And I think that that's really important, because you don't see the arc otherwise. I don't see the arc otherwise, because like, it's all happening fast. It's all happening slow. So it's like sort of watching the grass grow. You like don't notice the progress, but then also it's all happening. You're like, I could not tell you what I had for dinner last night.
Yeah.
And so I think journaling really helps you slow down. And then also, I think it helps you tell the story too. Mm-hmm. And then it helps you remember that your story needs to be told. Mm-hmm. I think we all have moments where we have been, deeply impacted by someone else's words or someone else's story.
Yeah.
In a moment when we really needed it the most. It's like, you know, a random book that someone dropped off at our house, or, you know, an Instagram post we saw or something, where like the words just hit us just right at that time. And I think when we can look back and see that moment or see like how hard life was when it was hard.
Yes.
I think that helps us believe that maybe an impact could be made and maybe we could be the one to make it.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that has really been like a through line for my whole life is the fact that we don't need to be an expert at something in order to walk someone else through it. We just have to have been through it before and like a little bit before them.
Yeah.
And really it's through having an experience and paying enough attention through the experience to have learned something that's what makes us the exact right person to turn around and help the next person who's walking through that same thing.
Yes.
And all of us can do it. All of us can do it. And there's something really beautiful that happens when we do that. When we look at our experiences as not just something random that's happening to us, but as something hard that we can learn from. And then that becomes a gift that we can go back and give to the next person who's walking that path.
Yeah.
I think that gives a real sense of purpose to our pain. And that sense of purpose really helps us through the pain ourselves, but also really does a great service to the people who are behind us.
For sure. I love that answer. I call it being a spiritual running buddy. Right? Like so many people don't need an expert. And in fact, that's in a lot of ways frustrating, right? Because it's like you're on this journey then where you feel like you're never arriving and there's always still so much to learn versus embracing and being like, hey, me too. Or like, hey, try this, right? Like it's so much more appealing, I have found, when it's relatable and it's not like this hierarchy or this leveling thing. It's like, no, I'm not better than, like, I'm with you. Let's go. Like, right? Yeah. Like we're championing you all the way through this thing. Like different. Yeah. Different.
And I'm not better than I just was here yesterday. Like I just arrived at it like one day sooner.
Like I just walked through that. Well, yeah. I found that sometimes true. Like I at one point went to a supernatural ministry school, but I was finding in that season, I was absorbing and implementing at the same time. It was like I had to be sitting in that class to implement that tomorrow in the environment that I was in to survive, right? Like it was literally like that. And I find that that's sometimes where the best work is done because that's anointed in a lot of ways, right? It's just beautiful how that happens. I'm curious too, like you feel like to me, I'm sensing like a radical responsibility. Like there is ownership on your life. Like you just are willing to go into things and tackle them. And that's countercultural. So has that always been in your wiring? Just like, let's go. I'm going to take this on. I got this or no?
I mean, I think so. I think it's that, I mean, no, there have been times where I've been like I don't know, felt like a victim to my circumstances, you know, yeah. Like absolutely. And there've been all kinds, you know, there are all kinds of things that I wouldn't have chosen. I think that like, you know, paths I wouldn't have chosen to walk down. I think that the thing that's part of my wiring is that I've always felt like I've always felt like the guinea pig. Like it was my responsibility to go through something and pay enough attention that I could help someone else through it. Yeah. Like I just, if I'm going to have to go through this, then I'm going to be like, you know, whether I go through it alone or not, I'm going to make sure that no one else has to go through this alone. Yeah. And that feels like it's really been part of my, that feels like it's a real part of my wiring. And so when I go through something, you know, difficult, I'm like, okay, well, like this sucks. I hate this, you know, but I already know that something really good can come out of this. And if it's just me being the person that someone can call when they go through it too, like that's good enough for me.
Totally. Totally. Did you notice the first time that you felt like the guinea pig? Do you know like a pivotal moment in your life where that was?
I think so when I graduated from college, shortly after I became a Christian, I was planning on taking, I had a internship lined up, a journalism internship lined up, and I was really excited about it. I'd been working for it for years. And I noticed it was sort of like right as God showed up on the scene, my passion for journalism was just totally eclipsed by him and my new love for him. I just, my spark just like shifted. And all of a sudden the spark for journalism wasn't there anymore. And so, it was like almost physical. Like it was undeniable. It's not that I like lost interest. It was that it like it felt like it was like vacuumed out of me.
Wow.
And that was really inconvenient because I was about to graduate with a journalism degree and I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And so in that kind of searching, like, what am I going to do next? I was offered an unpaid part-time internship at the college ministry that I had just recently started going to. And again, that like didn't look as good as like pursuing the journalism career that I had just earned a degree for. Yeah. But I took it and I loved it. And my job for that year I was in charge of the Greek ministry. Mm-hmm. So I was a sorority girl and my job was to like shepherd the handful of sorority girls, that were part of the ministry kind of through the year. And so we met on Sundays and, we would have a small group. I told you, I'm like a small group leader in my soul. Yeah. And then we would meet like, you know, in the middle of the week for coffee. And like, that was my job for the year, the unpaid job for the year. I was all waiting tables on the side and babysitting. It was really that year that I got to see, you know, man, something I was just thinking about, like now this girl that I'm having coffee with is needing the thing I just picked up. You know, I'm like walking through life and I'm gathering things and putting them in a basket. Yeah. And then like a few steps later, I encounter someone who needs the thing I just picked up. And sometimes it was like, you know, recent, sometimes it was something I picked up a while before, but, and now I feel like it's less, I live less, I like to really digest things and really go through a lesson before I turn around and teach it.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I didn't really have that time back then. I think that was the first time. That was the first time that I remember being like, oh, wow. You know, that thing that happened last week was really painful, but
yeah.
I'm actually, it's been helpful. Like, wow, that's really cool. And it, to me, it felt like getting to see God's redemption, like in real time, because while it, like, I'm not happy. I've had to go through hard things. I'm not happy when they happen, but it is like, it just was this really tangible experience of like, I don't think like God doesn't ordain the painful things that happen in our lives. Like he just, I can't put that on him.
Right.
But he can use them. And he has, like, he really has in my life. And like, I love getting to be the person someone calls when they lose a job, because like, I know how that feels, you know, like I love being the first phone call for different things.
Yeah.
And when you have gone through something, you become that first phone call for everyone in your sphere of influence. And we all have a sphere of influence, you know, next time someone's mom gets a scary diagnosis or something, like, you are the first phone call. You know what it feels like and what to do in a way that nobody else does. And that's a real gift. And I think when you're through some of the grief and through some of the, like, you, once you've kind of made it through that fog, it actually really does feel like a gift, because it gives some purpose to the thing that, to the pain you endured.
Yeah. I'm curious. I want to know if you have a life verse, because I'm really hearing that your life is embodying that you can have and enjoy your life in abundance to the full until it overflows, right? Like, it sounds like you're really somebody that shows up and is present and like fully breaks things down and digests them and gets the heart of them and then applies it. You know what I mean? Like, that's having and enjoying your life and like letting it overflow and bless everyone around you. So I think it's completely beautiful, but I'm curious if you actually have a life verse that you live by.
I do. I have two. So one of them, the very first verse I ever remember hearing is Habakkuk 1:5. And, it says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do things in your days you wouldn't believe even if you were told.
Yeah.
Now for the theologians out there, the context of that verse is like, I don't know. It's about like Babylon being destroyed or something like that. Like, it's not like super
does
hopeful.
Not match. Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't totally match. However, I really loved, I love that idea of like, hey, you can't picture what's going to happen. Like it's exactly what we were talking about before, that like, there are still surprises. There's still things, like things can still change. Things can still happen. It's never too late. And you're going to be surprised and you're going to be like really surprised. I never would have believed this, even if you told me that this is what was going to happen. And that just, brings me so much hope and excitement for life, that it's not like, it's not set in stone. And that's just really exciting to me. And then the other one is Romans 8:28. which says, "For in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." And I need that. I need that all the time, that like, no, like, you know, there's so many tragic things happening in the world these days. It feels like, yeah. I mean, I know that's always the case, but it feels just worse right now. Yeah. And so like, and to me, you know, when someone in your life is going through something really hard, it's easy to offer, it's helpful to you as the hearer to offer them platitudes. Like, let me make this better for you. And so we say dumb things like everything happens for a reason, or like, you know, but like,
or even I know how you feel. It's like, nah, you don't.
Yeah. Like what is it? What do you mean? Everything happens. Yeah. What do you mean? Like, so God like gave my mom cancer. Like, no, that's
right.
But I think that being reminded that like, God can use anything for good, anything, Lord. And he will. And he always has for me. And so that's, those are two things that I've just held on to for years.
So good. So good. So I ask people this question towards the end of the podcast. This is what I ask them. I say, many, many years from now, when you go to be with the Lord, right? You can't leave any of your bodies of work here. So you can't leave your books. You can't leave, you know, a ministry. You can't leave something here, but you can leave a piece of advice that would change somebody's life. What would you say?
The first thing that came to mind, find really good friends. Find really good friends.
So good.
Not friends that like give you something to do on the weekends, or not friends that like look fancy, or not friends that are cool, or like not that. Find women that will be your sisters in your life that can walk with you and help you and encourage you and pick you up and get you soup and know all of your messiest, ugliest parts and love you anyway, and that can laugh with you until everyone pees their pants. And just find best friends, because they're out there. Like, I don't think it's ever too late for any of us to make a best friend. It's just never too late. We all need them. You can never have too many, I don't think. So it's not like everyone's already paired up. It doesn't work like that. But I just would not be who I am in any way without the women in my life. And so do whatever you have to do to find them, but find some women to be in your corner.
Amen. And be that phone call, right? Like, when you're thinking about it, like, who's that person that you can call? And I would venture to say, like, be that friend, right? Like, part of how you find them in my experience has been willing to be that one, or being willing to be vulnerable, or say, hey, I'm having a tough time. Will you hold me accountable in these ways? Like, being able to just create space for that, to truly prioritize that and pursue it in your life. Like, it doesn't just happen randomly. And to your point, like, they're out here, but you have to invest, right? And you have to sow into those to truly let them flourish. And always a good time to do it, because you want to have it when you need it. That's a really hard time to build friendships, is when you're like in the middle of something. So it's always a great time to be cultivating that, no matter what. So I love that. So tell the folks, how can they connect with you?
So my like center of my world is my website, stephaniemaywilson.com. I'm on all the socials at S May Wilson. My podcast is called Girls Night, and really like being in each other's corner. That's what the whole show is all about. It's like, why would we ever do this by ourselves? Life is too hard for that.
So,
all those links are on my website, stephaniemaywilson.com. And, I just am so, I'm so grateful, Juliana, for your time and for getting to be here. This is really fun.
Yes. Well, thank you for being here and for being so generous with your story. It is a gift to hear all these details. It's such an honor to know your heart and how you show up and serve day in and day out. And it's just truly beautiful, because it's something to pioneer, and you're truly doing that. So thank you for being brave with your life.
Thanks, friend.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Listen, if you are not plugged into Courage Co. yet, what are you doing? Courage Co. is a faith-based community off social media that you can access from your phone or your desktop, literally from anywhere. It is a safe place and a sacred space for you to invest in and live your most courageous and impactful story. You can join us for free for prayer calls and challenges, for a monthly subscription where we have monthly masterclasses, or the God's Vibes Mastermind, where you will get live master life coaching at a price that you won't get anywhere else, 12 weeks of content that we will go through together, or you can navigate at your own pace. You'll have lifetime access to that, a community of women doing this alongside of you, a workbook, and so many other materials to help you on your journey. And I just want you to imagine for a second, having the courage, clarity, and focus to achieve anything you desire. Walking into any situation fully confident, knowing you have everything you need to succeed. Embracing challenges and overcoming obstacles with grace and ease. Feeling only love and compassion for others, no matter how they may have hurt you in the past. Standing up for what you believe in and taking unstoppable action to create the kind of world you want to live in. You're in the right place to take your next step on your journey. When you plug into the God's Vibes Mastermind, I'll teach you how to identify and eliminate the self-limiting beliefs and habits that are stopping you from getting the results you want. I'll teach you how to heal old wounds that have negatively impacted your self-image and self-esteem for far too long. I'll show you how to dismantle the story of who you are and what you can or cannot do in the world. I'll help you expand your consciousness from fear-based limitation to love and compassion and service to the world. I'll help you vanquish the inner enemies that are stopping you from being all that you can be. Release your victimhood and reclaim your power. Develop a aligned mindset and habits to boost your productivity and results. Gain deeper awareness of your own inner light and divinity, and achieve the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual self-mastery needed to achieve any goal. You will learn how to think the way God formed, shaped, and anointed you to think, and succeed the way He always intended, and show up in any situation as the most powerful person in the room, no matter what challenges might appear on your path. If this sounds like something that you want to be a part of, I want to invite you to join the God's Vibes Mastermind. You can get plugged into it over at Courage Co. You can access Courage Co. at any level at www.courageco.org. Together, we will awaken your inner warrior spirit and unleash your capacity to achieve any goal you can imagine. You will become an example of what's possible with God.